Carpenter Series 301, Building Your Ministry. Lesson 13, we're going to be talking about strengths this morning. Carpenter Series, Building Our Lives to Be More Like Who?
Jesus.
I'll tell you what, the more we look like Jesus, the better and better your life is going to be. The better and better you're going to go through life as well. You're going to face it in an amazing way because Jesus did it awesomely. He was connected to God, connected to people, and connected to His calling, and so should we be. Our key verse is Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We found out that we were created on purpose, for purpose, by God. God has uniquely designed you for a purpose, and He's given you your personality, your spiritual gifts that we talked about last week, your strengths we're going to talk about this week, and life experiences to help you fulfill His purpose. Strengths, we're going to talk about them this morning. Why focus on strengths? Gallup, which is a management and consultant company, also does the public opinion polls. Gallup says that each person's greatest room for growth is in the areas of his or her greatest strength. Too often we focus on striving to address our weaknesses rather than developing our strengths. I'm going to talk more about this just in a moment. Our greatest potential for growth is in our strength. So we need to work on what God has blessed you with and see those areas excel for the kingdom of God. Our scripture this morning we're going to go through is Matthew 25:14-29. I'll be in the ESV translation. The parable of the talents. And when you hear the word talent, as we go through this lesson, when you hear the word talent, think not only of it as money, but as a gifting, as a skill, or as a potential. For, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Entrusted to them his investments. He was going to invest in them. He gave them some things. To one he gave 5 talents. To another 2. To another 1. And each according to his ability. That word ability is an amazing word. It's the word dunamis right there. Dunamis. Powerful or miraculous ability. God given. He gives us talents. He gives us abilities in different measures. Then he went his way. He who had received the 5 talents went out at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he with 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. He hid his talent. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. I've made 5 talents more. I've made 100% increase. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful, trustworthy servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. And then the reward here, enter into the joy of your master. Basically he said, let's party. Let's get it going on in here. He wanted to party. He had invested. He'd worked hard. He'd received some abilities, some talents from his master. And he took them and he invested them and he grew them. And when his master came back, he said, Wow, you've done a great job. You've grown what I've given you. Therefore, I want a party. I want a party. Well done. Well done. Faithful servant. And he who also had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. I have made 2 talents more. Again, another 100% increase. His master said to him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Hey, let's party, dude. Let's enjoy the fruit of our labor, what we've done. And he also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. I was afraid. I went and I hid your talent. I hid what you gave me to develop. I hid it in the ground, in the earth. Here, you have what is yours. I'm going to give it back to you. But his master answered him, notice the words here, you wicked and slothful, lazy servant. You wicked and slothful servant. Hey, I didn't lose it. I still got it. Nobody calls him wicked and slothful. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money, my talent. You should have invested your talent with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest, with some profit, with some increase. So what happens? So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Well, that's not fair. Give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away from him. What I didn't give you in your notes is, the final thing is, they take him and throw him into outer darkness, where there's wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's an amazing parable. I think the meaning of the parable extends far beyond financial investments. God has given each of us here, a wide variety of talents, powerful abilities, miraculous God-given talents. He wants you to do something with them. He expects us to employ those talents in His service. It is not acceptable merely to put those talents on a closet shelf and ignore them. You cannot ignore the gifts that God has given you, the talents and the abilities that are God-given. God expects us to invest in our talents and grow them. Not to ignore them, but we're supposed to grow them. Grow them. He gives us potential and expects us to grow in that potential. Like the three servants, we do not have talents of the same degree, and that's okay. One had five, one had two, one had one. It wasn't the number. Okay, well, you get that out of your mind. It's not the number. It's the idea, what did you do with whatever He gave you? What did you do with your God-given talent? Well, that person's a lot more gifted in the same area that I am. That's fine. Then God's going to expect more from him. But what are you doing with yours? We're not comparing against him. You're comparing against what God's asking you to do. We always look at somebody else, compare our lives with somebody else. That's the worst thing you can ever do. We're supposed to, first of all, compare our lives with the Scriptures, find out what God has called us to do, and then be faithful to do what He wants us to do without worrying about what everybody else is doing. The return God expects is commensurate with the talents that He's given to us. The servant who received one talent was not condemned for failing to reach the five-talent goal of the other guy. He was condemned because he did nothing. Say it with me. Nothing with what was given to him. How many talents do we have? We're not developing. Do you even know what they are? The talents we receive from God are expressed in the context of skills and abilities, family connections, social positions, education, experiences, all sorts of areas. The point of the parable is that we are to use whatever we've been given for the purposes, for God's purposes, and for His glory. The severe consequences to the unproductive servant, cast into outer darkness, his stuff, his talent taken from him, far beyond anything triggered by mere business mediocrity, tell us that we are to invest our lives, not waste them. What I'm here for, I don't have much. I'm just going to get through life. No. That's not what God's asking you to do. He's asking you to find your talent. Develop and grow your talent. Become the man or woman of God that He wants you to be. To invest with Him. He'll give you that innate ability. But then He's asking you, will you put in your investments and grow what I've given you? He's given you a personality and your spiritual gifts, and He's given you strengths and talents. That's what God's given you. Not to just do your time here, but to change this world. To change this world, and He will equip you with everything you need. You just have to invest in it. So, what do we do with your God-given talents? What are we to do with our God-given talents? Number one, or I should say, is a question, what will you do? What will you do with your God-given talents? Develop them and make them strengths? Develop them and make them strengths? Become stronger in the area God's made you to be? Grow it? Or bury them and neglect your God-given potential? Oh, Lord, I'm just worried. It just takes a lot of energy and effort to grow this thing, so I'm just gonna hide it. I'm just going to make sure I don't lose it. Your goal isn't to try to lose it. The goal is to grow it. To grow it. To grow it. Overview and understanding of strength finders. The background of strengths. I'm going to give you some understanding and terminology. Strengths philosophy is based on almost 50 years of research by the Gallup organization. Strengths finder discovered that people have several times more potential for growth when they invest energy in developing their strengths instead of correcting their deficiencies. Now follow me as we continue on in this. They create a language of 34 most common talents. In the back there, we'll get to it later. There's 34 talents that they've kind of had a whole host of them. They boil it down to 34 of them. And develop the Clifton Strengths Finder Assessment to help people discover and describe the talents. First of all, do I have this? Oh my gosh, I have this talent. And then describe, what is it exactly? How is it me? So we want to help you discover and then to begin to describe and elucidate what is that talent that God has given you so you can grow it. What Strengths Finder actually measures is talent or potential, not strength. It's named Strengths Finders instead of Talent Finders because the ultimate goal is to build a true strength. Is to take the talent and grow it into a strength. And talent is just one of the ingredients in this formula, which I'm going to talk about in just a moment. Don't read ahead of me in my notes. You can see that for me. Don't look at it. Building your talents into real strengths also requires practice, time, energy, effort. It's kind of like building physical strength. Now, if you want to build physical strength, okay, if you want to work on your bicep or whatever other part of your body, you take some weight, right? And you take some investment, you take some time and energy, and you start doing something with the weight, right? I'm making some investment. I'm taking some time and energy, and I'm putting into this because I'm trying to see if I can make my arms bigger. All right? So, you see what I'm saying? I've got to work this, right? I've got to work this muscle in order to make it bigger. You've got to work your talent in order to make it stronger. If I want to become stronger, and I'm going to the gym to work out, I'm working out on all those things, and I'm taking time and energy and investment. Why? I want to strengthen my body. It's getting older. Parts of it are falling off. I need to strengthen it, right? So we work it and we make it stronger, okay? You work it and you make it stronger. Adam, here. Catch. Come here. No, you better sit down. This might hurt you. I was going to have you show off in front of your... Never mind. He's pretty strong. He's pretty strong. And good looking. So he's got it, man. Here's the thing. There are some people, I can work really hard. I can work really hard on my body. I can work really hard and I can spend some time and energy. There are other people who are innately gifted with some great bodies. They go to the gym and they start working out and their muscles start bulging, all right? They work a little bit and all of a sudden they start bulging. I have to work a lot more than they work in order to get to where they're at. Why? Because there's something inside of them that God gave them that's able to build it. They have a talent for it that I may not. And I want you to think about that. You need to invest in your God-given talent to grow it and maximize its strength. And maximize its strength. I could do the same work that a person who is gifted there does, and they will get greater results. They'll grow stronger because, if you will, it's their talent. And I'm trying to get us to invest in the things that we can grow stronger in and make them our strengths, because we know it's the God-given talent that He gave to us. While it may be possible with a considerable amount of work to add talent where little talent exists, Gallup's research suggests that this may not be the best use of your time. Instead, we've discovered that the most successful people start with dominant God-given talent and then add skills, knowledge, and practice into the mix, i.e. develop the talent, and when they do this, the God-given talent actually serves as a multiplier. And here's the following equation I want to talk about. Talent, which is God-given, times investment under your control, what you put into it, equals strength. Results in fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. Now let me describe each of these in this equation. Talent. What is talent? A recognizable God-given ability and potential. A recognizable God-given ability and potential that's different than other people. You have this ability that other people don't have as much. Secondly, investment. Investment is the time, the energy, the effort spent in learning, practicing, and developing your potential. It's building your knowledge base. It's gaining. It's growing. It's that time and energy and effort you put into it to grow it. And this results, this strength, the ability to consistently provide top performance in a specific activity. In other words, you're at the top on this. You work your talent and you work it strong. You're at the top of your field, if you will. Top of that category in it. Because it's your strength. And we all have different strengths. Because we all have different talents. And by the amount of investment you put into your talent will determine how strong your strength is. Understand? Talents, knowledge, and skills, along with time spent in practicing, developing your skills, and building your knowledge base, combined to create your strengths. Let me give an example. You may have a talent of a developer. And what a developer does, he works for people. He loves people. So your investment is, I read books, I go to seminars, I receive mentoring, I practice with people on developing them. And the result is, your talent grows into a strength. And you become a person then who works with people. You're a TA or you're a counselor in our Bible Foundations class because you like working with people. You like developing them. You like bringing out their full potential. And all of a sudden, because you know that's who you are, you start moving your giftings and growing your giftings in that area that help advance and grow the body of Christ. Because it's your strength. It's your strength. The Strength Finders assessment helps you recognize your talent so you know where to maximize your time, effort, and investment to make it a strength. So, in your notes here, a God-given talent invested in and developed with time, energy, and effort becomes a strength. Take a talent. God gave this to me. Put some time, energy, and investment into it. It becomes a strength. Now, look at these formulas on the next page here. These examples. My next page. I don't know what page it is for you. I want to kind of show this formula. There's another talent called futuristic. That's the, what could we do? What the thinkers out there. That's another talent. But let's say this person who's a developer says, hey, I want to develop this futuristic talent, but he's only got a one. I'm talking about a scale of 1 to 10. I'm not talking about number of talents here. We're talking about a scale from 0 to 10, let's give it. And he's really kind of in that, he's really kind of only a one. God didn't really give him this one. It's about a one. He can take a lot of time, 10 times the investment, and he comes out with a strength of 10, right? I can take a talent. Let's say there's this developer guy. That's his talent. He's got a 10 in it. His potential on a scale of 1 to 10. God gave you this thing. Your potential is up there at a 10 on this. But decides he doesn't want to put any investment into it. They come out, their strengths end up being in those two fields the same. Very low. Because he didn't put any time into it. The other one very low because he doesn't have any talent in it. Okay? Now look at this developer. If we take this developer as a 10, and he invests the way God expects him to invest into his talents, into his God-given abilities, he puts a 10 into it, right? The same 10, look what happens to his strength. 10 times. It's at 100. God wants us to grow our talents that they might be strong strengths in our life, that you're utilizing your strengths and your talents for the body of Christ, for the world at large. Does it make sense what I'm saying? The moral of the parable of the talents is ROI. You know what ROI is? Return on God's investment. Return on God's investment. He gives us the talent. We cooperate by developing the talent. He gets a maximum return. He gets the glory. God's given you talents. Invest in them. Invest. First of all, discover them. Find out what they are in your life. And then, invest in them. Invest in them. Invest in them. Most of us go, that's my talent. I got to go over here and work on my weaknesses. And we spend all of our time trying to become better at something God never created us to be good at. Now, I'll give some disclaimers to that, but I just want you to give the idea here, okay? We should be investing in that which we have the greatest potential to grow in. This guy put a lot of investment in being futuristic, but he only got to a 10. This other guy put the same investment in and got to 100. Why? Because it was the talent God had given him. Therefore, find the areas where you're at 8, 9, or 10 in talent and invest there. And where you're a 0, 1, or a 2, don't spend as much investment there. Capitalize on your strengths so you can be who God has called you to be to benefit the body of Christ. As you spend your time developing your God-given talents into strengths, it will improve your life. Let me tell you this. When you work on your strengths, you will like your life better. Why? Because I like what I am. I like this strength in my life. And I'm moving on it. I'm spending time in developing it. And I'm enjoying life better. And so will other people because they'll profit from your strength. Versus spending all your time when you're way low and you hate developing that anyway because it's just not who you are. It's hard. It hurts. It's painful. And you get little return on that great investment because you just don't have the talent. Remember, God gave us different talents, so we'd need each other. Although both talents and investments are important for building a strength, talent is always the most important in that equation. The reason is that your talents are God-given. For example, a salesperson can invest in learning your product features. You can learn the knowledge. You can be trained to ask the right open-ended questions. You can learn the skill. And you can practice making the closing deal with people. You practice the art of closing the deal, that investment. However, some have the innate ability or talent to make the sale, and others just don't. And if you spend your life in that profession, you're going to hate your life. Make sense? Versus, hey, I'm really gifted over here. Then find out where you can grow and develop, and find employment that's what turns your crank. So without investment, though, talent alone is never enough. But with talent, your investments will yield, but without talent, your investments will yield little return. I need God's given ability, big talent, and invest lots of my time in that talent. And what happens? A great strength that God wants to utilize for His kingdom. All right. What do we do with our weaknesses then? What do we do with our weaknesses? Forget them. Who cares about them? Let people stumble over them. It's no big deal. No. To completely ignore weaknesses is a bad idea. But to completely focus on weaknesses is also a bad idea. Let me say this. When considering where to invest one's time, energy, and attention, the best place to start is in the area of strength. Yet by no means does any of the research suggest that people should ignore their weaknesses. Do not ignore your weaknesses. To do so, especially in the workplace, is reckless. You're there and you're working at your job and you're going, you know, boss, this really isn't my strength, so I'm just not going to do it anymore. Okay, well, you're not going to do nothing for us anymore because you're fired. That's reckless, okay? I'm not suggesting that. I'm just trying to get us the idea that what if we took the talents that God has given us, discovered them, and then grew them, and we would enjoy what we're called to do. Now, we still have to do some of the... We all have to work through our weaknesses, okay? I mean, we all got weaknesses, and we're going to have to work through them. So, but we can't completely ignore them. The devil lies to us to neutralize us. He'll say, look at that weakness you have. And you know it's true, and you know you're weak there. Then he's using it to give you partial truths. He tries to define you according to your weaknesses, and this is the problem. We allow the enemy to define us according to our weaknesses because we look at him so much. And say that is what you are. Define us by that. God says no, He defines you redemptively through His plans and purposes. So here's the bottom line. The devil always defines us by our weaknesses, but God defines us redemptively by His intentional design. Say that with me. Intentional design. He designed you on purpose. Intentionally. Added personality in there, added these spiritual gifts, gave you certain talents, and then allowed you to live life and gave you experiences so that you might grow to become the man or woman of God that He has purposed from the foundation of the world, that you might be effective and productive and happy and excited and joyful and entering into the joy of the Lord, partying because you've done what your master has asked. And what He's going to ask you to do, He's going to enable you to do. He'll give you the giftings. He'll give you the abilities. You must grow them. You must grow them. There are two great ways to manage your weaknesses. Number one, partnering with those who have strengths in the areas of weakness. That's why we work on a team. This is what the whole team is about. Hey, I'm strong here and weak there. Great, I'm weak there and I'm strong there and weak over here. Hey, we'll be good together here. This will work together here. We need one another. Or trying to accommodate for your weaknesses by using your strengths. Use your strengths more. I want to give you this 80-20 principle. 80-20 principle about investing your time. Spend 80% of your time growing your strengths, investing in your talents, and 20% of your time working on your weaknesses. We can't just ignore them. We do need to grow. You can't just go, well, I'm just not a very nice person, so I'm just not a very nice person. Just the way I am. It's the way God made me. No, just a second. He didn't make you an unnice person. Well, it's harder for me to develop relationships. Okay, maybe. Maybe you don't have that talent, but it doesn't mean nada. It doesn't mean be that person. You know what person I'm talking about. So here's the deal. Take your top talents that you'll find from this assessment and invest the majority of your time developing them. Instead of trying to find out where am I weak at and developing all my time trying to develop and become stronger of something I'm not so good at. Now when I think about personalities and strengths, let me give this one word here. Personalities tend to look at why you do what you do, whereas strengths look at how you do what you do. Your strengths focus more on your performance or results. The point of strengths is not to put people in boxes. Personality is not to put you in a box. Gifts, not to put you in a box. None of this is meant to put you in a box. You're to discover how God made you to be and then begin to enjoy it by maximizing in the things and abilities that He's given you so you can enjoy your life to the max. Applying your strengths finder results. Now the rest of this lesson is going to deal with those who have taken the profile, taken the assessment, and found out what their top five strengths are. And hopefully all of you will do that. I know there is a cost for it. It's, $10 or $15. If that's, $15. So if that's a problem, let us know. We'll try to help you with it. But just don't eat a pizza that day and you'll have your strengths. Remember, our objective is to take our top five talents and turn them into strengths. And how do we turn our talents into strengths? By investing. Everybody say investing. 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 How do you turn your talents into strengths? By investing. How do you turn your talents into strengths? By investing. Invest. Make sure you're a wise investor. Most people don't go, hey, there's been no return on this thing forever. It's never performed. I'm going to dump 80% of my money into this thing. It ain't going to work. Put the 80% in that which you know will grow the best. For your information as well, strengths finders call these talents themes of talent, just for the terminology here. But you're to find your top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's what the assessment will do. And if you look at page 7 and 8 in your book, gives you 34 themes of talent, or these are the talents they've recognized, with 4 domains of leadership. And I'll talk to you about the domains of leadership in a moment, but there's 4 domains, and these themes of talent fit in those 4 individual domains. So when you get your assessment, you're going to see your top 5 themes of talent. How many of you have already taken the assessment? Okay. Did you get the results back? You get your top 5. My top 5 are: number 1, achiever. Number 2, positivity. Number 3, learner. Number 4, woo. Woohoo! I said that should be a party term, is what it should be. Likes to party. Although Pastor Tom and I, we're talking and we're saying, you know, we work for fun. We have to have some sort of a fun thing after we're willing to work really hard, and we do work really hard. But there's got to be a fun thing at the end of the rainbow there so that we can go, hey, we work to have fun. We got to have some fun spots there in the middle. So, but woo-hoo here, woo-hoo actually means meeting new people and kind of winning them over. So, and number five, my fifth one is belief. Those are my top five. Now, I'm not going to talk about all of those. This is what your consultant is going to do. They're going to take all of these and make sense of them with you as they go through your assessment and go through your personality and your life experiences and your spiritual gifts. It's going to be an absolutely amazing time with your consultants. It's going to be huge. Never mind. We'll edit that out of the tape. So I lead, my number one, I lead with achiever. And if I find someone else who's an achiever, according to your results that you get, and that person happens to be an achiever too, because his second, third, fourth, and fifth, and all the rest of them are different than mine, we'll have some things that will be together, but we'll have a number of things that will be different. Because the assessment takes into consideration what is number 2, 3, 4, 5, and all the rest of them in there to determine how you are uniquely designed to grow in that particular strength. Make sense? Okay. The probability that anybody else on the planet has your top five themes of talent, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that particular order is 1 in 33 million. Okay? That's the top five. If we did all 34 in that order, the chance of anybody on this planet having those same top 1, 2, all the way down to 34 in that order is 1 × 10⁻³⁸. That's a 1 with 38. Ain't gonna happen. We gotta go to another galaxy. If you spend your life trying to be good at everything, you will never be great at anything. Business organizations have figured this out. While our society encourages us to be well-rounded, this approach inadvertently breeds mediocrity. Perhaps the greatest misconception of all is that of the well-rounded leader, those who strive to be competent in all areas. Or this idea of being well-rounded actually can become the least effective leaders overall. While the best leaders are not necessarily well-rounded, the best teams are. God never made us to be a one-man show. He put us together in community that we might be able to offer our strengths. They offer their strengths. They offer their strengths. And in that, all walking in our giftings and our strengths create something so positive, so wonderful, and so awesome. The church. We need others. Gallup studied and interviewed thousands of top-performing healthy teams, and as they did, they recognized a distinct pattern emerge. They found that these top-performing teams displayed four distinct domains of leadership. The four domains of leadership that you see on your pages there. Those are the four domains of leadership that these 34 themes of talent fit into. They're executing, influencing, relationship building, and strategic thinking. So what does this mean? These top performing teams were diversified and had these kinds of people on them. Four domains of leadership. The first one in your notes here, executing. That domain are the doers on the team. The getter done. They're the achiever, arranger, belief, consistency, deliberative, discipline, focus, responsibility, and restorative. The second domain, influencing. The people in those domains, those eight themes of talent in those domain, they're the motivators. The sales side of the team. The ones who can reach out, close a deal, motivate people, get it going. You need those on your team. The third, the relationship building. These nine themes of talent, These people fit into this category, the relational part of the team. This is the glue that keeps the team connected. And if you don't have people keeping your team connected, it's going to fragment and go all over the place. Because sometimes in teams there are egos everywhere, and you need somebody who's able to keep those egos in check. Keep us all moving for the same common good. They're the glue that keeps the team connected. They care how everybody is doing. They care about how everybody is feeling. And I've given you those nine themes of talent there. The fourth one is strategic thinking. These are the thinkers on the team. These are the people that go, you know, they just think and dream about stuff. They're the idea generators. And sometimes they have more ideas than there are people left to do them. They have another one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And all these 34 themes of talent fit into one of those four domains. The second thing I've given you here, I've given you team insight on pages 9 and 10, and that's just how the person works in the team. That particular talent on the team needs to, let's say achiever on the team needs to challenge. He's going to challenge the team. That's what he's going to do. As a leader, he wants to make sure we're productive, that we're getting stuff done, and I'm in conflict when the team or the meeting is not productive. If nothing happens here, it was a waste of time. Why are we here? The people, if we get together, hey, this is great because at least we built ourselves together as one. The achiever doesn't see that. Okay? How do you best function in a team environment is good for team members and the team leader to know. Knowing, and this is important, and I put it in your notes here, knowing your top five themes of talent is very freeing, liberating, and helpful. Very freeing, liberating, and helpful. And I want to go through here, I'm going to take the time to talk about these testimonies. These are people in our own church who, when they discovered their top five themes of talent, it freed them up to be who God called them to be. The first one here, from the executing domain, it was the deliberative thing. The deliberative thing. Here's what he said. I grew up being labeled as slow. When asked questions, I would take time processing, so I would often be interrupted and unable to answer. They'd want to think back so fast they'd answer for them. StrengthsFinder highlighted a deliberate theme of talent, and I have come to understand that I am not slow, rather I am accurate. I tend to filter through more mental data in order to obtain the desired outcome. Knowing this from StrengthsFinder has set me free to enjoy who God has made me to be. You need an accurate person on your team. Secondly here, from the influencing domain, activator theme. Before taking strengths, I had always been known as eager to put thoughts into action. I am all about putting feet to ideas and getting things started. I would get teased at times for being impatient or pushy. After taking the assessment and discovering the theme of activator, I was able to understand the reason behind my behavior. And it was so freeing. Now I move forward with confidence and clarity, owning my strength and communicating my asset clearly to those I work with. Need a spark plug? Count on me. These guys spark up the team. Number three, from the relationship building domain, this is the harmony theme. Harmony talent. I always knew that I did not like conflict, and I always viewed that as a bad thing. Like it was a problem that I couldn't handle conflict. When I took the StrengthsFinder's assessment and realized that harmony was a major part of my personality, it made me realize that instead of always being a problem, it actually could be a positive thing. In my job, working with a lot of different people, it enables me to see different sides of every issue, process them, and try to find a solution that works for everyone. My thought process has changed from, I hate conflict, to, I can figure out a solution to this that works for everyone, and that is very freeing. Four, from the strategic thinking domain. This person had context, analytical, and futuristic themes, talents. I've always had big dreams, big ideas, and big hopes for my future. However, when compared to what I actually accomplished with my time, I just looked like a big daydreamer. As it turns out, the way that I pursue life is exactly how God created me. My strengths include the themes of context, analytical, and futuristic. The combination of these three allow me to take in all the past data, analyze it, determine why a current situation is the way it is, and then create a plan to move forward into the future. This revelation helped me to feel free from the condemnation of not being able to implement all of my ideas. This is where strengths are valuable in the context of a team, and I need to surround myself with people who love to implement as much as I love to dream. The next set of things that we've given you in your building materials on pages 11 through 16. Unhealthy barrier descriptors versus healthy productive descriptors. Okay? Unhealthy barrier descriptors versus healthy productive descriptors. They're done alphabetically. And after you find your top five, you should read through these. I want you to make sure you read through these. They're very, very good. Unhealthy barrier descriptors versus healthy productive descriptors deals with the negative and unhealthy barriers that we and others have labeled us as and turns it around into a positive, healthy, and productive description. This is really important. Remember that deliberative person? Here's what the unhealthy barrier descriptors for the deliberative person say. Standoffish, aloof, cautious, slow, introverted, afraid to act. That's what he had been labeled as. That's what he felt about himself, because that's what people told him he was. Now look at this. The productive descriptors. Good judgment. Identifies risk. Makes solid decisions, because he puts all that data into it. Can plan for the unexpected. Wow, that's a powerful, positive person to have on your team. The enemy has been describing you because he wants to try to destroy your strength by making it seem like it's something that's bad. God wants you to think about the strength that he's given you in a different way. The talent that he's given you in a different way. He wants to energize you to believe the positive of what you bring to the body of Christ or the team that you work with. Some examples, we put together a little chart of all those who have put together this Carpenter Series 301. Our 301 team is up here. Pastor Tom, myself, Curtis, Catherine, Aaron, CJ, and Ellis, which have all done an amazing job. They are absolutely incredible. One of the things we realized as we were looking up here and looking at where everybody's strength, where we just put them in different colors, we didn't give you the number. But Pastor Tom is... He has two in the strategic thinking category. And the strategic thinking category is, you know what we could do? We could, you know, he's got ideas faster than we can write them down. Okay? He throws out so many ideas. He has ideas about everything we discuss in any meeting that we have. Whether it's in his department or not, he's got an idea for it. And we kept going, why? Why is he always... And then we go, okay, Pastor Tom, do it! And he would go, I just generate ideas. The issue is, and we honestly, for a while, we were frustrated. Pastor Tom, you throw everything out there and you never want to do nothing. He'd want to get a team together to do it. He'd never want to do things alone. He always wants to involve other people, because that's another one. Relationship building is another one of his strong categories. So when he does something, he wants people with him. When he's... Now, he doesn't like to do things alone. I don't mind being alone. Give me my computer. Get away from me. I'll create a message. We'll do it all. It'll be fun. I'll have a great time. I'll interact with God. We'll put something on paper. We'll get it. We'll come and we'll preach it. It's going to be good. Pastor Tom, to do a message, He's got to talk to you, talk to this, talk over there. He's got to get 5,000 people involved. He's all over the place. He's got everything going on. He don't want to be alone. He don't want to be alone with it. He wants input. He's a verbal processor. He processes stuff by talking about it. He's amazing. But he's got amazing gifts. When we did South Grand, we had to get all that thing torn down and all the asbestos and everything that happened there with South Grand to tear down that building that was there. He developed the team and got a whole team together and made it all come to pass. Because that's what he does. But he incorporates others. And he's amazing at it. Conclusion. God has made you unique. Say, I'm just a little bit different. That's okay. Thank God for you. These assessments help us begin to understand the differences he's made us and that they're good. They're good. We can apply them in positive ways for God's purpose. Remember, though, we do not learn about ourselves, our personality, our spiritual gifts, our strengths, and life experiences for isolation, but rather application. What's that? Oh, page six. Not for isolation, but rather application. The body of Christ needs you. We need who God created you to be. Quit being ashamed and don't like who you are because of the weaknesses you have. Instead, rise up in the strengths and giftings God's given you. Contribute to the body of Christ and to the world at large and watch it get dramatically changed. Quit letting the enemy speak junk into your mind. Mark Twain once described a man who died and met St. Peter at the pearly gates. Knowing that St. Peter was very wise, the man asked a question that he had wondered about throughout his life. He said, St. Peter, I have always been interested in military history for many years. Who was the greatest general of all time? St. Peter quickly responded, oh, that's a simple question. It's the man right over there. You must be mistaken, responded the man. Now, very perplexed, I knew that man on earth and he was just a common laborer. That's right, my friend, assured St. Peter. He would have been the greatest general of all time if he had been a general. Far too many people spend a lifetime headed in the wrong direction. They go not only from the cradle to the cubicle, but to the casket without uncovering their greatest talents and greatest potential. God made you on purpose. For purpose. And he gave you spiritual gifts, personality, strengths, and life experiences so you could be the man or woman of God that he's called you to be. That's why it's essential to discover and develop them for the glory of God. Let's build God's community and let's change the world in the process by being those whom he's created. Father, we thank you that you're amazing, that you're awesome, that you're wonderful. Bless these people, Lord, as they begin to understand more and more about how you created them, instead of bemoaning that fact, relishing in the idea that, wow, you created me on purpose, for purpose. And when I'm executing in that purpose, life is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Help us now as we continue to be the people you created us to be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, come on up here. We'll pray for you to receive Christ. If you need prayer for something else, come on up here. If you need time to come to the altar and go, wow, Lord, I need to think about who I am. Remember that we're going to give a time to meet with your consultants when this is all done so you can chat over all of those ideas together and then find out where do you fit in the body of Christ. God loves you. Next week, we're going to talk about life experiences and how they shaped you and how God will use them to accomplish His dynamic purposes in and through you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Do you have some things for them?
I have a few things.
Okay.
A few things. So, you're not. Don't leave yet. So, once again, for those enrolled in class, please pick up one of these student results summary. We'd love to get that back from you. Well, actually, we need to get back that back from you. This is kind of your ticket to a consultation, because once you fill that out and once we know that you've got the RTTs, those response to truth forms at the back page of your lessons, once we get to all those from all your lessons and we have this in from you, then we can start scheduling your consultant appointment.
Because you need to have that piece of paper before you can start their schedule.
So pick that up if you didn't already at the tables in the back. And we noticed that there were some pages missing, so if you grabbed some pages that were missing some of the additional building materials, we'll print off some more of those this week, and we'll have them next week for you. So don't worry about that. The assessment, once again, we talked about the Clifton Strengths Finder assessment. Please take it. Even if you're not in the class, please take it. It is worth every penny, and it will benefit you for sure. And you can send your results if you are enrolled. I'll be sending out some more emails this week to CS301, Carpenter Series, so CS301@livingfaithfellowship.com. And we'd love to get those from you so that we can help your consultant prepare for your meeting.
We need to have those. And did you tell them about the three different ones that they can get?
Yeah, I'll be sending. We need the Insight Guide, the Strengths Insight Guide, and I'll be sending out a little link for a video. So if you're trying to figure out where to find that, your Insight Guide is what we'd love to get back from you, so that your consultant knows what's up.
There's three reports that you'll get. One talks about signature themes, which is kind of generic; it's general. The second one is specific to you. It's the insight report specific to you and your 34 ranking order of strengths. And then the third one is more of a complete one, action planning, some things you can do more in your life to change in that. But make sure you do get the second one. That's the one that we want to make sure that you send to us.
Yep, insights. Love it. If you're wondering about your status in the class, so once again, those RTTs, let us know if you're enrolled, that you're taking these lessons and taking those assessments. We're getting those results from you. We have, out of 178 students enrolled in this class, about 50 out of 178 are all caught up. So if you're wondering, wait, please stop by the tables in the back and we'll let you know, like, yeah, you're all good, we're good to go. And then as well as your RTT from this week and those Strengths Finder results. And if you'd like to enroll, you can still enroll. And we'd love to have you get that consultant meeting at the end. You will love it. It will totally benefit you, it will bless you, and you will be better for it.
The consultant meetings are going to happen like within a few days after our last class next week.
Do our best.
So we're going to try to get a lot of people in. So what I'm asking you to do is make sure this week that you get all the other things that you need to get done for the class. Because if we don't have that piece of paper and have all of yours done, you will miss your consult meeting. You won't get it. Okay, so we need to have all of that, because we can't really do a consulting meeting without all of that data to help you. So please, get it all done. Get her done, all right? Get her done.
Get her done. Make it happen. All right. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
God bless.